It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
So this morning, Zoe Larson-Cumming spoke to the Green Party co-leader James Shaw on a variety of subjects, including honouring Te Tiriti, prioritising Taka Taipui and Aotearoa's Rainbow Community this parliamentary year, and crucial global climate talks happening in December. However, they began by discussing the nationwide alert level changes due to three cases of COVID-19 being detected in the community in South Auckland yesterday. Auckland is now at level 3, as I'm sure you know, and the rest of the country is at level 2. We've had cases here and there before, and there was no alert level change. But Zoe began by asking James what it was about these cases in particular that meant an alert level change was necessary. I will also say that at the time this interview was recorded, there wasn't absolute confirmation that the new community cases were the UK variant. However, it is now confirmed that the cases are the UK variant, and they touch on that in their discussion. But here are Zoe and James.
So the primary thing is not having a clear understanding of where it came from. So what's the source? If you're able to understand what the source is, it becomes a lot easier to draw a boundary around the outbreak. But in this case, because it wasn't clearly identifiable, I think that, you know, to use the Prime Minister's words, the abundance of caution applied. In addition, I think that my understanding is that it's the UK variant of the virus, which is the one that's more contagious than the one that we were grappling with for most of last year. And so, you know, the risk is commensurately greater.
Mm. If it is confirmed to be the UK variant, will this mean anything different for our alert levels in the future?
That's really not for me to say. In all of these cases, you know, we defer primarily to the health officials who are doing the analysis and what their recommendations are.
The process of vaccinations is due to start for border and managed isolation and quarantine workers around the 20th of February. Does this new case mean that anything will change with that?
Again, I can't say. And, you know, one of the issues that we've got to grapple with is that it does appear that the virus can be transferred through surfaces. So it's not just person-to-person contact that leads to the virus spreading. And so, you know, whilst obviously it's good that we're starting vaccinations for people who are working at the border, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can relax at all. And in fact, this latest strain, you know, clearly shows that.
Mm. Parliament just returned last week. Do you worry that the urgency and importance of addressing COVID-19 will prevent other important issues, such as the climate crisis, from being addressed as quickly as they otherwise would?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that dealing with COVID last year deferred a lot of government business, including work on climate change, housing, and some of the other really big issues that we have to grapple with. I have to say, now that we largely have it under control and that, you know, the economy appears to be ticking along reasonably well under the circumstances, that does create space for us to have more of a business as usual approach. But it's not completely there yet. And, you know, having a partial lockdown like we do in Auckland and an increased level of alertness around the rest of the country does have impacts that will require the attention of, you know, not just politicians, but also significant numbers of people in the public service.
Mm. I appreciate that a lot of this is a waiting game, so we'll move on now to some other topics. You were up at the treaty grounds for the anniversary of the Treaty of Waitangi last weekend. What issues were brought to the forefront this year, and how do the Greens plan to honour Te Tiriti in this new parliamentary year?
Well, so I've been to Waitangi every year since I became a Member of Parliament, and I consider it one of the great privileges of the job that I have. Now that we're in government, you know, we take almost the whole week up there, and I think, you know, that is really significant. So it's a real pleasure to be there. I also think for the first time that the politicians as a group kind of collectively largely got the tone right, and that was I guess by sort of thinking, well, look, it's actually not about us. It's about the day. It's about the history that's associated with it, about what that means for our future. It's about Ngāpuhi, who are our hosts there, and so on. And so it had a really good tone to it this year, I think. The issues that were raised were familiar, you know, issues to do with, housing was really one of the top ones on the list, but also other areas where Māori are obviously disadvantaged, including through the justice system, education, health, and so on.
One of the ways that the Greens plan to prioritise Māori is to prioritise protecting the rights of takatāpui, in particular trans, intersex and non-binary people. As it's Pride Month, there's been a lot of talk about this at the moment. And in what ways do the Greens plan to prioritise Māori in the rainbow community?
Well, there's a kind of series of things that we're working on, but probably at the top of the list, given the announcement that we made yesterday, is the intention to try and ensure that we bring forward the ban on conversion, or what's known as conversion therapies, which do actually meet an international definition of torture. And we think it's just unacceptable that in a civilised society we actually allow that to continue. So we're very hopeful about that, because the Prime Minister has previously signalled her intention in that domain. And this is something that the Greens have kind of campaigned for a long time.
How soon is soon with the date that this petition hopes to have it banned by?
I guess what we're saying is that as soon as is practically possible. So we would actually like legislation to be introduced as soon as it can be. We don't yet have a time frame from the government as opposed to when it's supposed to come out, but that would be good.
Do you imagine it would be by the end of this parliamentary year?
Oh, in our view, it could be done a lot sooner than that. Mm. This is not a new issue. People have been thinking about what the policy settings would need to be, how a piece of legislation could be constructed for a while now. So I think getting it introduced sort of in the next few months should be doable.
We'll move now, just to wrap up the interview, to your talks a couple of days ago with the British High Commissioner Laura Clark. One criticism of New Zealand's response to climate change is that it's quite rhetoric heavy. And in December of last year, Laura Clark said that there's a gap between ambition and reality regarding our climate response. Were these concerns still prevalent in your talk with her recently?
She didn't raise that in particular. Look, I have said for many years that New Zealand, as a country which prides itself and, in fact, trades upon its reputation as 100% pure, clean and green, needs to match that in reality as well. And so that's why, I spent most of the last term setting up the Climate Change Commission, putting in place the targets that we have under the Zero Carbon Act and so on. And in this term, particularly in light of the recent Climate Change Commission advice, that's when the rubber's really going to hit the road. So we were talking really about COP26, which is the annual UN Convention on Climate Change that happens towards the end of each year. The United Kingdom was supposed to host it at the end of last year, but of course, due to the pandemic, it got deferred to the end of this year. Mm. And we were really talking about the internet, mostly about the international scene and what we needed to do to continue to build momentum and get more countries signed up to the net zero target for 2050, and also to increase their near-term ambitions in terms of the 2030 targets that countries have set under the Paris Agreement.
What are some ways that you plan to get more countries signing on and in agreement with this? Are there any key players that are currently missing?
This is the thing I think a lot of New Zealanders don't realise, is that there's been a huge amount of movement on this just in the last 12 months. So whilst we were all distracted by COVID, the European Union signed up to a net zero target for 2050 across the entire EU. That is massive, because they're one of the biggest players. Joe Biden has said, although he hasn't actually officially announced it yet, he has said that he wants the United States to adopt a net zero 2050 target, and he also said that he wants agriculture in the US to be the first country in the world to get to net zero emissions for agriculture. The United Kingdom has signed up to net zero 2050. South Korea, Japan, and others have all signed up to it. And so what that means is that you've got an international momentum building there, and it's coming from the developed world. And that's really important because, you know, it's been really clear for the last 30 years that there is a real expectation that developed countries, because they benefited from the Industrial Revolution that, you know, created global warming in the first place, that they should take the lead on the solution.
Are you concerned, as COVID-19 previously delayed the talks, is there concern that that might happen again this year?
Yes, there is. I mean, if you look at the rollout of the vaccine around the world, it's largely kind of rolling out in developed countries again, wealthier countries, and there's very little vaccine being delivered to or administered in developing countries. And that produces a real inequality on a number of ways, but one of those ways is that it makes it harder for countries in the developing world to be able to participate in an in-person meeting. And so one of the, I guess, contingencies that the UK, as the president of the talks this year, is going to have to grapple with is the contingency plan for the idea that it might not happen in person, it might have to happen virtually, and how does that get managed?
That was Zoe Larson-Cumming speaking to the Green Party co-leader James Shaw on the new COVID-19 alert level changes, honouring Te Tiriti, prioritising Aotearoa's rainbow community this parliamentary year, and the crucial global climate talks in December 2021.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.